I don't know if I'm going to need these or not. I wanted to talk to you a little bit this morning about the title, It's Not Fair. And the first thing I want to say, it's not fair that I'm up here and you're down there. But anyway, I did get the call yesterday and tried to put something together, but, you know, I need at least a week to get ready, and a few hours is not enough. So be praying for me this morning as we try to go through this. I want to tell you a little story. There was a new preacher who came to a little country church, and his very first Sunday there, he came into church, and there was one person in the church, little old man wearing his bib overalls. And he said to the little old man, well, what shall we do? Shall I preach to you, or shall we just go on home? And the little old man says, well, if I had a truckload of hay and I went out into the pasture and one cow showed up, I'd feed that cow. Preacher was, well, that's inspiring. So he started preaching. And he preached everything he had ever learned. He preached everything he had ever heard of. He even made stuff up. But he kept preaching. About 2 hours later, he finally finished. And he looked at the little old man and he said, well, how did you like my first sermon here? He said, well, brother, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm just a little old farmer. But if I were to take my truckload of hay out to the pasture and only one cow showed up, I wouldn't dump the whole load of hay on there. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that this morning. But we're going to read some scriptures this morning. Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did exactly the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? They said, because no one hired us. So we said to them, you go into the vineyard too. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, and each one received a denarius. When those who hired first, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have only worked 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give you this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last. You know, it's been many years since my father passed away. But one of the vivid memories that I have of him is his love of fairness. If he helped one of his children, he would do his dead level best to help another one. And it's sometimes very hard to do because he had 6 kids and they were spread over 20 years. So you can imagine the different needs that went during that time. But him being fair, my brother who graduated from chiropractic college and went to Tennessee and had nothing but his degree in his pocket and nothing else. My parents bought coats for their kids for that first winter in Tennessee. And They were very grateful. They paid, I think it was like $30 for all of the coats, all three coats. But come 20-something years later, I come along with the same thing. I graduated and had nothing in my pocket either. So we moved, and my parents did the same for us, except they gave us $30. Guess what? 20-something years later, $30 wouldn't buy a coat. The price was more like $50 or $60. So my parents' sense of fairness did not allow for any inflation to be going through there. But my parents really never got the joke. But my brother and I often laughed about the coat story because they did bequeath to most of us in family a good sense of humor. But he did laugh more loudly than I did because, after all, he got the best end of the deal. But I totally understand that my parents' intention, especially once I had children of my own. You know, children have very little patience with unfairness. If you've ever been around little kids in a room somewhere, you're going to hear something like this. That's not fair. He got more candy than I did. His piece of cake is bigger than my piece. Have you ever heard that? When they get a little older, the words change a little bit, but it's still the same. My friends get to go to the dance and stay out late, and you won't let me. That's not fair. Why can't I have more allowance? My friends get like totally more, dude. And you won't give me but a little bit. That's not fair. And even when these children grow up, we still hear the same thing. You might hear, it's been beautiful weather all week. And now here it is Sunday morning, and it's raining. My only day to play golf. Now I guess I'm going to have to go to church. It's not fair. We both put in an 8-hour day, but yet I come home. I have to pick up the children. I have to get supper ready. I have to do the laundry. I have to clean around here while you sit there and watch TV the whole time. That's not fair, ladies. Every year I get a little raise and inflation just eats it right up. I'll never get ahead. It's not fair. It's not fair at all. We both come from the same family, but yet she gets twice the inheritance that I did. That's not fair. I've been with this company for 20 years. I've got all the experience. But yet, here comes this upstart who has political connections and a brown nose, and he gets the promotion. That's not fair. Children are not the only ones to notice the absence of fairness. We're all quick to react for any apparent reason when we see something that or someone who's treated better than we are. Fairness is a noble and a helpful concept. We try to build it into our society. We try to structure the programs and institutions in such a way that there are checks and balances all the time, whether it's in the economic sector, whether it's in the political sector, or the educational sector. We expect fairness. When the labor management negotiations are going, we expect fairness. We expect fairness in the court system, and so often we don't see that anymore. But we expect it and we want it. We expect fairness in international trading, but yet we don't see that. But we try to develop alternative trading that would be more fair. But fairness is a good and a noble concept. And that's one of the reasons that the story that Jesus relates here in today's gospel is sort of like rubbing your fingernails across a chalkboard. Because we hear that and we say, that's not fair. But there was a joke about the little boy who bought a turtle and then he returned it a few days later because it had calluses on its feet. And he exchanged it for a new little turtle. Well, then a few days later he brought it back because this one also developed calluses on its feet. The third time the boy returns, the pet owner is sufficiently curious enough to follow the little boy out of the store. And as soon as the boy gets out, he gets down on his knee and he gets that turtle and he goes, Similarly, Jesus' story here is schematic. The landowner hires workers at regular 3-hour intervals from sunrise until late afternoon. But what happens? Essentially, all the workers get paid the same. An honest day's wage. Whether they started work at 5 o'clock in the morning or whether they started at 5 at night. Some worked 12 hours. Some worked only 1 hour. They all got paid the same. It's not fair. But I'm amused at those who get rankled by this story. Because if we look at the Bible, we see this repeated call for justice is always in there. But yet this doesn't undermine that call for justice by one little story here that suggests that life is not always fair. Jesus' listeners would not have any trouble understanding this. Now, when you were a child and if you had brothers and sisters, if you spotted the least little thing, if your brother or sister had a little bit bigger piece of cake or a little bit more ice cream, what are you going to do? Wait a minute. It's got more than me. And your mother or father have obviously said, hush, life is not always fair. That's a good lesson. That might have shocked us back during that time because we think everything should be fair. But in time, we discover that mom or dad, even God, have good reasons to do what they do. And their reasons are based on love and generosity. Now, the landowners in Jesus' story gave a fair wage to those who worked all day, but decided to give the exact amount to those who put in less time. So when confronted with this inequity, the landowner replied, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what is mine? Or are you envious because I'm generous? Is that a sin to be generous? No. It wasn't that the landowner was unfair. It was that generosity that he exercised over and above the fairness that made the others mad. But the gospel lesson that we see here is grace. And it is abundantly clear that our own grasp and practice of grace is pitifully meager when we compare it to God's generous grace. Our inability to grasp the nature of grace is reflected in the story of a man named Frank. Now, I really hesitate to use this story because it's not biblically correct, but it does illustrate a point. So bear with me. Frank died. And he arrives at the pearly gates. St. Peter meets him there and said, here's how it works, Frank. You need 100 points to get in heaven. He said, you're going to tell me the good things that you've done, and I'm going to assign a point total. Frank said, oh, that sounds good. He said, I've lived a pretty good life. He said, I was married to one woman for 55 years, and I never, ever cheated on her. St. Peter said, that is really good. I think I'll give you 5 points for that. Frank says, 5 points? That's not many points. He said, well, what else did you do? Well, I attended church all my life. I supported the ministry with a tithe. I sang in the choir. I gave my time to the church. Terrific, said St. Peter. That is great. That's worth a point. A point? Oh, my goodness. He said, well, I started a soup kitchen in my city. And I worked in a shelter for the homeless. Fantastic, St. Peter said. I'm going to have to give you a lot for that. I'm going to give you 2 points for that. Frank is really getting discouraged. He said to St. Peter, at this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God. Congratulations, Frank. There's your 100 points. Predictable joke, I know. But as soon as we start thinking that God owes us something, we're in trouble. Like our moms and a dad, God loves us. Not because we've said enough prayers, not because we've stayed out of jail, not because we're model parents, not because our children are smart and competitive, not because we contribute to the life of the church without a lot of fuss and bother. No. God loves us just because. God loves us because even though God is a holy God and our behavior falls very short of His holiness, God in His grace continues to love us. The lesson of today's gospel has relevance to our raising of children and grandchildren and actually in every aspect of our lives. It has to do with our spiritual disposition. If we go through life with a sense of entitlement, then the unfair aspects of human life will disturb us, maybe even make us bitter. But if we go through the life with a knowledge that everything we have is a blessing, then the unfair aspects of human life will be no match for our serenity. And we will approach life with a deep sense of appreciation and gratitude. If we, as parents, raise our children with a strong sense of entitlement, and we see that happening in the world today, then you can expect that there's going to be an unruly mob of kids in the schools. And we see that happening day by day. But if we want the best for our children, I think that the kingdom of God will be much better served if we strive to inspire in them a spirit of appreciation and gratitude. Christian community is also best served by this spirit, and that's quite evident to me when I look at the history of this church. The handful of families that first started this church in this building, if they had started with a sense of entitlement rather than a sense of gratitude, what would have happened? We probably wouldn't be here today. They would have said, forget this. This is too much work. We don't need a building. We can just meet at a school or a shopping center or find someplace, somebody's home. Why should we risk so much for little return? It's not fair to us. And indeed, it probably wasn't fair. Most of them didn't get a whole lot of return on their risk investment. It was expensive. And many of them, and some of you, gave sacrificially during that time. It's not fair. Not everyone who gave of themselves to that problem and solution got to enjoy it very long. Some moved away. Some were called home to be with the Lord. But even though it wasn't fair, it was done to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to the lost. Not done for fairness. Over the years, a great witness has been here since that inward message that we hear of it's not fair. He ignored that and let this happen. Leo Tolstoy told a story of a very old man who on his little farm planted some apple trees. Now, apple trees don't give fruit overnight. And so some of his neighbors came up and said, why are you being such a foolish old man planting apple trees? You're never going to get to taste an apple off of these trees. Yomi said, I realize that. But what about my family and those who come after me? They will enjoy those apples. So somewhere along the line, we are graced with the realization that life is not just for the here and now. We are part of something larger, larger than our own life and larger than our families. Somewhere along the line, we are graced with the realization that it is a privilege to work in God's vineyard. Now, all of you know that Nancy and I have 6 grandchildren and 1 great-granddaughter, probably the most beautiful great-granddaughter I've ever seen, but be that as it may, and it pains me to say this, when they were babies, they were absolutely useless. I mean, what did they do? They eat, they sleep, they dirty a diaper. They don't do anything. All they do is take, take, take. And we have to give, give, give. But would we have it any other way? No. The choice to have children is a choice to give. It's a long-term project in giving with very little promise or expectation that we will ever receive anything back. Similarly, we can never earn God's grace or his love. Like a baby, at our best, we simply accept that God loves us. Accept it, relax, and respond to that love in a spirit of gratitude and praise. The good news is that our value to God and to this community is not based on what we are or who we are or what we can do or what we have done. It's simply based on the nature of God. Praise God for that. I want to try to tell you a story. There was a school years ago with a class of students that no teacher was ever able to handle. 2 or 3 teachers had been run off from the school because of these unruly students. But there was a young man who was just fresh out of college, and he heard about this class, and he went to the principal, and he said, I would like to try that class. And the principal says, are you crazy? You're just asking for a terrible beating. Nobody has been able to handle these students. After a few moments of silent prayer, the young man looked at the principal and said, sir, I would like to try. I would like to give me a trial basis. So the next morning, the young man came to the class, and he said to them, young people, I'm here to conduct school, but I realize I can't conduct school by myself. I have to have your help. One big boy they called Big Tom was at the back of the class, and he whispered to his mates back there, I'm not going to need any help with this little weasel. I'll beat him myself. Well, the young teacher told the class that if they were going to have school, they were going to have rules. And to have those rules, the class would decide on the rules. Well, the class perked up. They never heard anything like this before. So teacher said, well, just tell me the rules that you want to have, and we'll write them on the board. So one young man yelled out, no stealing. So he wrote it on the board. Another one said, be on time for class. They went on and on. They got 10 rules written on that board. The teacher then asked the class, what will be the punishment if this is violated? One boy said, if the rules are broken, then whoever broke them will have to stand before the class with his coat taken off and receive 10 licks across his back with the rod. The teacher thought this was pretty harsh, didn't really like it. So he asked the class, is this what you want for punishment? And they all agreed that that's what they wanted. Well, everything went real good for 2 or 3 days. Then one day, Big Tom came in and said, somebody has stolen my lunch. Well, teacher started doing an investigation, talking to me. Somebody had seen little Timmy steal Tom's lunch. The teacher called little Timmy up to the front of the class, and little Timmy admitted that he had taken the lunch. Teacher said, well, you know the rules. You know the punishment. Timmy said, yes, I do. Said, you're going to have to take off your coat. Little Timmy said, I am guilty, and I will take my punishment, but please don't make me take my coat off. I'm willing to do all of the punishment. Teacher reminded little Timmy that this was the rules that they had decided upon. And so he told him he must remove his coat and take his punishment like a man. The little man started to unbutton his coat, and as he did so, the teacher looked and noticed that the little boy had no shirt underneath the coat. Even worse than that, he was very frail, and the bones even stuck out. His ribs were easily seen, the spine sticking out from his skin. The teacher asked him, why did you come to school with no shirt? He said, well, teacher, my daddy is dead, and my mother is very poor, and this is the only shirt that I have. And my mother's washing it today. So I wore my big brother's coat just trying to stay warm. And I only took Big Tom's lunch because I was so hungry. Well, the young teacher stood and looked at that frail black back and his bones sticking out, and he wondered, how am I going to lay this rod on this kid? But he knew that if he did not enforce the punishment, now any other rule could be broken and the class would continue to have no discipline whatsoever. So he drew back that rod to strike little Timmy. But just then, Big Tom stood up, came down the aisle. He grabbed a teacher's arm and said, don't you hit that boy. It's not fair for him to take a beating because he's hungry. Teacher said to Tom, the rules must be obeyed and the punishment must be carried out. With that, Tom ripped his coat off and stooped and laid his big body over Timmy. The teacher ran to lay that rod on his big back. But for some strange reason, after about 5 licks, the old rod just broke in half. Teacher looked up and saw everybody in the class crying. Little Timmy had turned over and grabbed Big Tom around the neck and was apologizing to him. He told Big Tom, I'll love you till the day I die because you took that whipping for me. Aren't you glad that Jesus took our whipping for us? That he shed his precious blood on Calvary so that you and I can have eternal life in glory with him. We are unworthy of the price he paid. But aren't you glad he loves us that much?